The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from teenvogue.com and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article today from kidspiritonline.com, The Path Paved with Unity. This article was written by Angie Shaw on March 3rd. Hidden behind history's veil of social crises and upheaval are stories of suffering citizens, conflicted ideologies, and oppressed communities. These stories are propagated across countless generations through endless conflict and discrimination, continuously feeding the cycle of division and further conflict. It is said that history repeats itself. Yet, perhaps there is a way to start a new trend of peace, communication, and, most importantly, unity. To understand how best to address divisive social crises, it is important to first examine what causes them. Social crises can be, and have been, caused by a myriad of reasons throughout history. Some causes can't be controlled, such as natural disasters and epidemics/pandemics, like the recent COVID-19 pandemic and Turkey-Syria earthquakes. Other social crises have been caused by human actions, including economic crises like the Great Financial Crisis of 2008, political crises like the Arab Spring, and disastrous wars. Oftentimes, these crises are connected, one leading to another, like falling dominoes. For example, the 2011 Arab Spring, a political crisis caused by corruption and economic stagnation, led to armed rebellion in the countries it affected, including Yemen. In Yemen, war still rages today, where a decimated healthcare system and government has caused fatal cholera outbreaks and high inflation. Delving deeper into the causes and effects of social crises, there is an obvious pattern that emerges. Uncertainty, fear, and a sense of hopelessness and oppression leading to social unrest. Regardless of what type of social crisis occurs, these factors are always the agents of division, conflict, and change. Empirical evidence proves this point. Famous social movements like the women's suffrage movement and civil rights movement were sparked by communities wanting to live freely after generations of oppression. The countless religious and territorial wars throughout history have been caused by opposing ideologies and fear of the other party gaining power. Similarly, pandemics and epidemics caused widespread public fear of disease, leading to uneasiness and chaos. The recent COVID-19 pandemic displays this exact phenomenon. The entire world was forced into a lengthy quarantine marked by panic over basic necessities, like toilet paper, protests, debates over the vaccine, and a state of fatal pandemonium as countries were left shell-shocked by waves of virus variants and high death tolls. Eventually, the unrest leads to the questioning and destruction, or sometimes reconstruction, of social policies, practices, and institutions. For example, COVID-19 changed healthcare and the virtual world. The women's suffrage movement ended in women's rights to vote, and the global financial crisis led to the fall of the Lehman Brothers. In each instance, an inevitable change, whether positive or negative, took place. However, one fact is undeniable. The journey of change in a social crisis is a period of panic and division as society falls into ceaseless internal conflict and seek stability through suppression. Within this period, families, communities, and countries are torn apart. Perhaps there will always be a light at the end of the tunnel. Yet, can this light erase the dark tunnel that lays behind it? In a simple analogy, social crises are like a pendulum. In the beginning, the pendulum is stable. Yet, a disturbance causes it to swing uncontrollably, flailing to find equilibrium again. Society is that pendulum, shaken by the fear and conflict of a social crisis, trying to find security and to overcome the two opposing forces. Imagine now a hand suddenly stopping the pendulum and guiding it back to its original place. That hand represents the unity of different people deciding to embrace each other, to face and solve the infinite problems that are to come. Through the study of the root causes of crises, preventative measures promoting societal cohesion can be adopted. One of the primary methods for approaching divisive social crises is fostering open dialogue and communication. Effective communication serves as a bridge to understanding, allowing individuals with differing perspectives to engage in constructive conversations. Local initiatives such as community forums, town hall meetings, and online platforms can provide spaces for diverse voices to be heard, facilitating a deeper understanding of the concerns and experiences of various groups within society. Communication forums and summits created at a larger scale between entities representing marginalized communities, such as those for women, LGBTQIA+, and Indigenous people, would provide fresh perspectives and foster an inclusive society where all voices are heard, while avoiding instability through promoting teamwork. Tunisia's 2013 National Dialogue Quartet is an example of a successful practice of this theory. The country was still shaking from the political revolutions of the 2011 Arab Spring. The Troika government coalition, which was in place at the time, was quickly losing popularity, while radical political groups were on the verge of violent confrontation. In this pretext, the Tunisian General Labor Union, UGTT, took initiative to form a federation, which was soon joined by three other civil society groups: the Tunisian Confederation of Industry, Trade, and Handicrafts, UTICA, the Tunisian Human Rights League, LTDH, and the Tunisian Order of Lawyers. They were joined by 21 political parties and were able to negotiate peaceful solutions to the issues at hand. Much of Tunisia's democratic stability is accredited to the quartet's works, a fact affirmed by the Nobel Peace Prize that was bestowed upon them in 2015. Education also plays a pivotal role in promoting empathy and understanding. By encouraging an open mindset through educational curriculums and furthering awareness of historical and contemporary social issues, societies can lay the groundwork for more compassionate and informed citizens. Awareness and education can also remove stereotypes and stigmas that lead to biases against certain groups. For example, the implementation of a gender-neutral education curriculum in Sweden has played a crucial role in eliminating the influence of gender stereotypes on children. An article published in the Journal of Experimental Child Psychology found children who had experienced gender-neutral pedagogy were less prone to make biased assumptions on the basis of gender, and were more open-minded to playing with other genders. This proves that instilling the cornerstone values of respect and tolerance through a diverse curriculum from a young age will ensure a future filled with collaboration. Solutions can't be simply on an individual or internal community basis. Collaboration channels must also be installed between powerful social institutions, such as the government and law enforcement, and the people they serve. It is these institutions that can help mediate and prevent social crises. This involves breaking down silos and encouraging partnerships between individuals, community organizations, and government bodies. Case studies from successful community engagement projects, such as those addressing urban revitalization or environmental conservation, demonstrate the power of collective action. For example, in recent urban design projects, Australian state governments have worked with LGBTQIA+ NGOs to develop infrastructure that shows acceptance and inclusivity for this historically marginalized group, marking the end of an era of discrimination. Dating even further back, in 1996, Boston implemented the ceasefire program to address a surge in gang violence. Law enforcement, community leaders, and social services collaborated to address the root causes of violence. The program successfully reduced gang-related homicides by fostering trust between communities and law enforcement and providing alternatives to gang involvement. Research conducted by social scientists on community-based problem-solving initiatives highlights the effectiveness of collaborative approaches. By involving diverse stakeholders in the decision-making process, these initiatives not only address immediate concerns, but also contribute to the development of a shared sense of responsibility and interconnectedness. On a larger level, divisive social crises also stem from discrepancies that exist in the workings of these larger social institutions themselves. Policies that perpetuate inequality, discrimination, or exclusion can exacerbate tensions within a society, in addition to policies which continue to benefit the privileged while abusing the poor, leading to economic disruption. Addressing these root causes necessitates a commitment to policy change and reform. The most effective policies are often developed through consultancy with majority stakeholders. Historical examples, such as the Civil Rights Act of 1964 in the United States, demonstrates the transformative impact of policy change on societal divisions. The legislation not only addressed discriminatory practices, but also laid the foundation for a more inclusive and equitable society. This holds true for any laws that have been made to bring equality to a previously oppressed community in society, and examining successful cases can provide inspirations as to how social crises can be mitigated. Ultimately, the questions of crisis, conflict, and division must be addressed at all levels, from individuals to governments, and can only be resolved through unity and teamwork. While history has proven social crises to be tumultuous times, taking measures through education, communication, and policy reform can prevent the exacerbation of division, turning social crises into oases of progress. As Abraham Lincoln once said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Similarly, a society plagued with dispute is doomed, but a society bound with unity is destined to flourish. Our next article from teenvogue.com, How Religion Helped These Believers Improve Their Mental Health. This article was written by Elise Fox on April 30th, and there is a note. Welcome to Soft Launch, a column by Elise Fox on mental health and well-being in a world that often feels anything but soft and cushy. In this installment of the column, Elise talks to some friends about religion and mental health. Believers is a series running through April, examining different facets of faith and religion among young people. Can I be real with you? I feel like the Soft Launch crew has really become a tight-knit collective, and honestly, it feels like a safe zone. With that in mind, I'm going to open up a little. I've always dodged talking about religion. It just made me squirm, you know? There were so many reasons, but the big one was that something meant to bring people together so often had a trend of tearing them apart. Still, I'm curious about the intersection between spirituality, religion, and mental health. Getting back in touch with your faith can be a real personal journey, and it's all about taking it slow, being kind to yourself, and keeping an open mind. I spoke with my friends, Emilia Ortiz, a spiritual healer and mental health advocate, and Kira Omink, content creator and proud Christian, about their unique journeys with their chosen faith. Elise Fox, EF, how has your spiritual practice impacted your mental health, and has it always been part of your life? Emilia Ortiz, EO, my spiritual practice is something that's rooted in keeping me grounded and helping to be a supportive tool for my mental health. It's definitely something that helps bring me back to center. Kira Omink, K.O. My mom only took me to church on big holidays, like Easter, so I had to really take the time to find my own path into church. When I relocated from Wisconsin to Atlanta, I realized how sheltered I was as a woman, and I was tested, but the lessons made me who I am today. But at the time, my mental state wasn't okay. I needed to get closer to God and find my own way. EF, how have your beliefs grown over time? KO, in the past, I would get upset or moody when other people received opportunities before me. Since I started putting God first, I had to learn that God put me on this journey for a reason. I feel like God wants me to be part of something greater. He prepared me for what's to come, and looking back on everything in the past, I know I wasn't ready for those opportunities at that time. EF, what advice would you give someone who's new to navigating their spiritual journey? KO, you'll know when you're ready. Take your time. You're going to learn so many things along the way, so don't rush the process to find what works for you and where you belong. EO, all of our paths are going to look different, right? I always try to tell people to keep in mind that there's always room for things to change. If you're doing it because you want it to support your mental health, it's important to remember that this is just a tool in your toolbox. It isn't a replacement for anything like mental health services, but it absolutely can be a really wonderful supportive tool in the toolbox. Here are some pointers for anyone who's feeling a bit lost in the faith department and wants to start piecing it back together. 1. Set intentions. Be intentional with what you're seeking from your faith. Figuring out why you started doubting or feeling lost can help you figure out how to move forward. 2. Trust the process. Religious and spiritual beliefs can offer comfort, support, and a sense of community during times of distress, providing individuals with a coping mechanism to deal with life's challenges. 3. Explore. Give yourself permission to check out different spiritual or religious beliefs. You don't need to have everything figured out right now, and it's okay to explore different angles. 4. Seek support. Surround yourself with people who respect your journey. Whether it's friends, family, spiritual leaders, or a support group, having people in your corner makes the journey way less scary. Engagement in positive religious coping strategies, such as seeking support from religious communities or relying on religious beliefs for comfort and guidance, has been associated with positive mental health outcomes among certain populations. 5. Practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself as you navigate this whole rebuilding thing. It's not always going to be a smooth ride, but showing yourself some love along the way can make a world of difference. Let yourself evolve spiritually because, let's be real, this faith journey is a lifelong thing. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Olivia Rodrigo Guts World Tour. Dates, ticket prices, openers, on sale info, and everything you need to know. This article was written by Karen Nesvig on May 9th. Olivia Rodrigo's Guts World Tour is finally underway, and new stops keep being added. The day after her show stopping 2023 VMA's performance, the musician announced that she'll be hitting the road and heading out on an over 60-stop tour in support of her critically acclaimed sophomore album. And you know we'll be seated for this one. Olivia Rodrigo wrote most of Guts, which was released on September 8, 2023, when she was 19 years old, and it's a deeply personal but extremely relatable album that she was thrilled to share with her fans. I made the bulk of this album during my 19th year on this earth, a year that, for me, was filled with lots of confusion, mistakes, awkwardness, and good old-fashioned teen angst, 20-year-old Rodrigo wrote before its release. I cannot express how excited I am to embark on this new chapter of my life with you guys. Below, find out everything you need to know about Olivia Rodrigo's 2024 Guts World Tour. When and where did the Olivia Rodrigo Guts World Tour kick off? The tour began in Palm Springs, California on February 23, 2024. Rodrigo started the tour in the United States and Canada and will continue throughout Europe for much of the spring and early summer before heading back to the United States in July. Initially, we thought the tour would officially wrap on August 17, 2024 in California with four final Los Angeles shows, but she announced new stops across Asia and Australia on May 8, 2024, via social media. Who is joining Olivia Rodrigo on tour? The Guts World Tour has a packed slate of opening acts. The Breeders, Pink Pantheress, Chappelle Roan, Remy Wolf, and Benet will join Rodrigo on select dates across the tour. Where can I get tickets, and how much do they cost? According to a press release, fans are being asked to register before tickets go on sale in an effort to reduce bots and resales. You can register for your tickets on Ticketmaster. American Express cardholders may be able to unlock early access. While standard tickets in the U.S. retail between $49.50 and $199.50 plus taxes and fees, Rodrigo is also introducing Silver Star tickets, a limited number of $20 tickets plus taxes and fees, to make it as easy and affordable as possible for her fans to make it out to her shows. These must be purchased in pairs, and seat locations will be revealed on the day of the show. What else do I need to know about the Guts World Tour? There's a charitable arm of the tour. Rodrigo is launching the Fund for Good, a global initiative committed to building an equitable and just future for all women and girls through direct support of community-based nonprofits that champion girls' education, support reproductive rights, and prevent gender-based violence. A portion of proceeds from all ticket sales will go to support the fund. What are the Guts tour dates? The Guts World Tour is making a total of 84 stops across the globe. The first date was Friday, February 23rd in Palm Springs, California, with the final date Friday, October 18th in Sydney, Australia. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Teen Vogue's Favorite Colleges and Universities, How to Nominate Your School. This article was written by Teen Vogue staff on May 1st. Each year, tens of millions of young adults enroll in a college or university with the hopes of obtaining an undergraduate degree. If you're a prospective student, deciding which school to obtain your undergraduate degree from is likely one of the most stressful choices you'll have to make in your late teens and early 20s. Teen Vogue hopes to be a useful resource for you during this time by recognizing 12 colleges that have served students in exceptional ways in the past year, with an emphasis on campus life. Teen Vogue's Favorite Colleges and Universities is not a comprehensive list of all of the best schools, but an opportunity for our editors to highlight noteworthy schools in the following categories: reproductive justice, politically active, library, accessibility, financial aid opportunities, student media, sustainable campus, school-inspired, aesthetic campus, stylish campus, food and student dorm decor. The package will launch this fall. While our editors will select the 12 colleges and universities based on publicly available data, fact-checked school resources, and our own internal research and reporting, we also want to hear from students. Whether you are a student or a recent graduate, we'd love to know why your college has the most aesthetic campus, how students have spearheaded impactful sustainability initiatives, or utilized your campus's student-run media to keep you and your peers informed. Take Teen Vogue's Favorite Colleges and Universities survey. Responses to this survey will be anonymous, and any published answers will only feature your first name, age, and occupation. This survey will close at midnight on May 31st. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.